You ever hear that term, the dog ate my homework? Well, it could be. It could happen. I know the dog ate Judy's Christmas card not too long ago. So I know it could happen. But isn't that a standard sometimes, shifting blame for an undone assignment, whether it's in school or something else? We adults have a similar mantra, and I think Flip Wilson made it famous. The devil made me do it. This simple phrase suffices for almost anything that we don't want to take responsibility for or that we want to avoid owning up. Except this phrase at least attests to the fact that something was done. The homework, excuse me, is nothing that was not done at all. This is the case of avoidance to the ninth degree. Sadly, as discipleship, we proclaim to be disciples of Christ and we practice discipleship. And today, in our society, it leans more to dog blaming than the devil blaming. Although a case could be made for both. For many, the discipleship journey, and it is a journey, not a sprint, may be most like somebody just stowing away on a ship. The stowaway doesn't take part in the work of hoisting the sails, scrubbing the deck, steering the boat, or maneuvering the storms, but only the stowaway is just along for the ride. It's the ultimate in just slipping by. Now, I think most of us believe that we are on this journey. And by the way, we travel in our discipleship adventure. It really smacks more in the stowaway than all hands on deck. We're all guilty of it. We like to observe the journey more than taking part in the journey. We want to take the easy way out, the discipleship route that requires not too much effort. You know, no sweat, no toil, no commitment. We don't want to get our hands dirty. And we don't want to make this thing taking too much time out of our lives. And more interesting distractions or promise of a quicker, easier route to our destination can easily just lure us off course. I say we because I'm in this category too, have a difficult telling sometimes the difference between true direction and false promises. This little guy. You know, the story is very interesting. There's been a lot of people that has taken biblical narratives and made it into something wonderful. A fairy tale, if you would. Think of The Lion King. If you ever watched The Lion King, very biblically narration, you can fit it right into there. C.S. Lewis did a real good job of doing this. But the most legendary tale in the world was named and created by a masterpiece of Italian literature. Now, I butcher Italian names as good as I butcher English names. And I hope and pray you know the story I'm talking about is Pinocchio, written by Carlo Collodi in 1883. These series and the adventures of Pocono was made into an animated feature film when he was alive by Walt Disney in 1940. I want to surmise the story a little bit, because in this story, an old Italian woodcarver named, Jody's helping me pronounce the word properly, so I'll probably butcher it, Geppetto. I hope I did it right to those of you who know the story better than me. Geppetto. He carved a wooden puppet, and he named his puppet Pinocchio. The puppet is brought to life by a fairy who tells Pinocchio that he can become a real boy if he proves himself to be brave, truthful, unselfish. So Geppetto gave him somebody to help him. It was a cricket. That's his conscience. However, Pinocchio quickly goes off on his own, encountering various unsavory characters who consistently led him off course and got him into trouble. And when he lies about his escapades, his vest fell down, you know the story. His nose kept getting longer and longer with every lie. His nose grows. And then finally, Pinocchio, with the help of Jiminy Cricket, escapes his wayward plight and returns home, only to find that Geppetto had gone a sea looking for him and had been swallowed up by Monstrosto, a huge ship-eating whale. Sound familiar? Well, Pinocchio jumps into the sea to rescue his father, and then he too is swallowed by the whale. Together they make the whale sneeze, and they are cast into the sea on a small raft. Angry, Monstrosto smashes the raft. Pinocchio selfishly pulls Geppetto to safety onto the shore, but sacrificed himself in the process. Geppetto carries Pinocchio's lifeless body back home, where the blue fairy revives him, and in doing so, turned him into a real boy. Now, the story itself is fictional. Probably not exactly the way it was originally written. I gave you the Ralphie version, but the point is this. Like many early stories, it smacks biblical metaphors. From the time in the whale, to the change from a false wooden heart, to a flesh and blood heart, and a true and authentic heart. So Pinocchio echoes what it means to be a true person of God, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, and a repentant soul tried and tested by hardships of life, and a sacrificial spirit. But instead of this blue fairy, our scriptures tell us that God has made this discipleship promise to those who commit authentically to God. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will remove the heart of stone from your body and give you a heart of flesh. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit that I will put within you. So our scripture today, the first Sunday of Lent. The devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. Offering him an easy way out of this mission that he has to undertake. The devil tempted him to use his miraculous powers to feed himself, make a rock into bread, to pursue superficial but easy means of power, and even use the scripture to lure. The devil's good at that. He'll take scripture. He knows scripture is good, if not better than we do, and if not better or equally as much as Jesus knows scripture, but he takes and he twists it. Just like Pocono, whatever. But he's alive and well, this person we call the devil. He tried to lure Jesus into testing whether his mission is really valid. Do you really have that call from God? Are you really God manifested in the flesh? Is God truly behind it, Jesus? And whether God even cares about you? Ooh, he challenges the sacrifice that Jesus means to make and invites him to take the easy way out. Easy peasy, if you would. Now, as we know, Jesus declined. But later, he will challenge his own disciple, Peter, when he makes a similar suggestion with, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, Peter was doubting, trying to say, well, Jesus, are you really real? Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. For the road of discipleship, Jesus' discipleship road is paved with difficulty. It's paved with challenges. Gosh, do we have challenges? And sometimes even pain, physical or spiritual pain. to get to the promised land. And sometimes the people of God had to go through the desert, drought, disaster to get there, to get to this thing we called everlasting life. Jesus needed to take up a cross and walk a lonely, snare-filled route. In Israel, they have what they call the Stations of the Cross. It's just kind of a little thing to realize when Jesus carried that cross through Jerusalem, the different stages of it. It's an interesting walk. You can visualize what took place that day. But real discipleship takes both authentically and it also takes an investment. Well, what kind of investment? Well, an investment in love, a commitment, exactly, because it's not easy. There is no easy peasy way to success. Like the story of Isaac as he laid upon that sacrificial rock. Jesus' story and his disciples' stories is in the coming of an age story. And like Isaac, Pinocchio, like Jesus, we too must be willing to sacrifice our own hearts and our lives for the sake of Jesus Christ, who created us after all, who created the world for the sake of the gospel, the good news. And in this, we are redeemed and we're saved. In doing so, we become authentic disciples and gain eternal life. Not perfect disciples, but authentic disciples. We believe in our heart. If we can agree on Christ and who he is, God manifested in the flesh, come and died to take our sins away and promised to come again. If we can picture Jesus as who he is, then we can, all that other stuff that the manly churches and everything teach and so forth is secondary to our salvation. It's good. It's good to follow the church calendar and do the things, even this thing called Lent. You know? Do we follow it perfectly? No. But if we can agree on Christ, then we can disagree on all this other stuff because it's a personal relationship that we have with Christ. There's an author by the name of Peter Scazzario. And he wrote this little book called Emotionally Healthy Discipleship and Our Challenges to the Easy Peasy Way of Doing Discipleship in Our Churches. Having gone through the pearls and the temptations of the easy peasy road himself, and many of us have traveled that road, he now spends his life helping others to go deep and real into the true meaning of discipleship. You know, when we have a personal relationship with the Lord, it's revealed to us through the grace of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit ministers with our spirit, and we become spiritually in tune. He helps us through all this stuff. Perfect we are? No. He also writes that true discipleship means to reject popularity. I love the isms, great-ism, success-ism, and to embrace suffering and even failure in the name of Christ. Instead, he said, we must put ourselves up to the authentic relationship and the willingness to engage in sacrificial giving. You know who did the sacrificial giving first, don't we? It is Jesus. Like Honest John, the double-faced fox in the Pinocchio story, easy-peasy discipleship is the stuff of liars, untruth tellers. The devil himself is a person of lies who tells us that, oh, we can take on this easier way of discipleship. We don't need to put out very much, you know, just go with the flow. Can't be that hard. Just do good things. Don't do anything terrible. Pursue success in life and be as great as we can be and take part in a little mission, not a big mission, just a little mission to get us through. Attend church once a week. Set goals and follow them. Give to the poor. And if we do these things, we simply can just hop aboard and stow away ourselves in a neat little corner of the kingdom and ride out our discipleship journey in peace. No sweat, no tears, no effort, no big deal. So the road to discipleship is the easy way out. It requires something special because discipleship is not easy. It requires a deep level of commitment, enduring trust in God's mission, the willingness to sacrifice our very lives for the sake of the gospel and making God the centerpiece of our life. Jesus warns us several times in Scripture that doing these things may cause us discomfort, may cause us grief, may cause us pain. That's why he said to his inner circle, he asked the disciples point blank, are you sure you want to drink from this cup? Jesus, the cup of sacrifice, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. We're going to celebrate it in the sacrament that he gave to this bread and wine. He gave up his very life to cover the sins of all. You know how many of the people that are? All? It's all. The sacrificial heart of Lent means that when we come to drink of the cup of Jesus, we're not only joined with him at this table, he is here, we join him in his journey. We scrub the decks, we hoist the sails, we chart the course, we steer the ship in the direction Jesus wants us to go. And no matter the storms or the winds or the ferocious of the deep sea, we must persevere, trusting in our destination. So today, as we prepare to come forward to the Lord's table this morning, to put your heart in his hands, as Robert Frost would say, take the road less traveled. It may not be easy, but the destination will be worth it, and Jesus will never lead you astray.